Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, February 7th. Welcome to the show. Just want to let you guys know that our call-in number tonight is 914-803-4399 if you have a question or comment. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. You can also join us on Twitter, where we have our tweet chat. And you can follow the conversation by using the hashtag Beauty Talk and Beauty Lounge. Now I'm going to turn it over to Denise.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Tonight in our beauty news, just a quick reminder about the North American Hairstyling Awards for those of you who are interested in competing in the North American Hairstyling Awards. Please be mindful that the entry deadline is February 11th. That's Thursday, February 11th. Entry deadline for North American Hairstyling Awards, which takes place Sunday, July 24th at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And for more information, you can go to probeauty.org/NAHA. Again, probeauty.org/NAHA, or you can call 800-468-2274. The local number there is 480-281-0424, and that's where you can get more information on the whole 2016 NAHA entry process, as well as submitting online. So that's the North American Hairstyling Awards. Entry deadline is Thursday, February 11th. And speaking of Thursday, February 11th, we have Ms. Sierra Nicole on the line with us, and she's going to talk to us very briefly about a free event that she's planning for Thursday, the 11th, for Valentine's Day. How are you, Sierra?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. So tell us, basically introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell them who you are and what you have planned for the 11th.
Okay, sure. First of all, thank you so much, ladies, for, you know, allowing me to be on your show tonight. I'm really excited and happy to be working with you. You're both very talented, and I just appreciate, you know, from one sister to another, you all supporting what I do, and also allowing me to support you, because we need that, you know. It's very
exactly.
important to our culture. And just everything that we're dealing with today. So, again, thank you. But my name is Sierra Nicole from the Chick Cave Radio Show and Podcast. I've been doing radio now for, I want to say, maybe over 5 years. I studied broadcasting at Georgia State, and I've also been on a personality on some FM stations here in Atlanta, and branched out, started my own show. And it's been going very well. On the show, we talk about everything, love, relationships, career, everything that women deal with. I came up with the concept of the show because, you know, I felt like as women, we needed a space and a place where we can all come together and talk about things that we deal with and not just to talk about it in a gossiping way, but talking about it to build and to help one another in areas where I may fall short and you may be strong. You know, we come together and we lift one another up, because it's so much negativity out there that I felt like it was needed for us to have this place. Every girl has that space, right, you know, in your house, in your home, where you can let your hair down and you can just be you. And that's the whole concept of the show. Yeah, so, you know, you guys can actually, you can listen to the show. It actually is on iTunes and Spreaker and SoundCloud. Really excited this Thursday, and I hope I'm not just kind of going on and on. Did you guys want to ask me a question? I'm sorry.
I mean, you're fine. We'll reel you back in if you are.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so this Thursday night, I am hosting what I call the Social Fix. It's a live event where I, you know, invite the public out, people that typically may not get out of the house. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, socialize. I feel like in Atlanta, and even today, we're so limited to the things that we can do together. You know, everything is so, you know, you go to the movie and there's no engagement. You know, you go out to the club or the lounge, the music is loud, and you're not really able to socialize with people and have an intellectual conversation. So I created this event so that we can do that and discuss things, you know, that we're dealing with, again, in hopes of just pushing us forward. This Thursday, I'm doing a live interview with Kalina. She is a hip-hop R&B artist. She was formerly a part of Dirty Money with Diddy and Bad Boy, and she branched out on her own once that project ended, and now she is her own artist. You may have seen her on Love and Hip Hop Season 4 Atlanta, and she's doing some great things. She really revealed a lot about herself. If you're into watching those type of shows, you know, about her relationship and where she is as a mother, you know, and dealing with postpartum. Also being a woman and having to play so many roles as we do all the time, you know, mother, wife, sister, friend, and juggling all of those things and still trying to be that career woman that you've always wanted to be. And that's why I was so just captivated by her. And she's such a sweet, humble spirit. So I'm excited to actually interview her and her husband on Thursday. That's this Thursday, the 11th, at the Hookah Lounge, downtown Atlanta. It starts at 8 p.m. It's free. It's open to the public. And we're just going to be real. Like, Kalina, she's so cool and so open, and I am too. So it's going to be, you know, a really good time, and bring up some topics that maybe, you know, we don't talk about out in the open, or maybe that you and your spouse only talk about and you've never really gotten another perspective on it. So we're gonna push it a little bit, but it's going to be fun for sure.
This Thursday, the 11th at 8 p.m. and you said it's at the Hookah Lounge.
Yeah, the Hookah. It's actually the Hookah Lounge inside of Sweet Lounge, which used to be Lucky. Yeah, it's inside of Sweet Lounge.
Okay. Inside of Sweet Lounge, downtown Atlanta, 8 p.m. on Thursday. So let me ask you this, since on Beauty Talk we talk all about beauty, what is your approach to, one, what is your approach to makeup?
Mm-hmm.
Two, do you think makeup can help boost one's self-esteem? And three, our very last question is, what is beauty to you? And I'll repeat anything you need me to repeat.
Okay, cool. So those are really good questions. My approach to makeup, let's see. When I wake up in the morning, it is usually, I'm not going to lie, like I literally take all the time that I need to get myself to where I feel like I need to be. And it's not so much about me needing to feel beautiful, but me being comfortable in my skin. I am one of those people, I truly believe that when you feel like you look good, then you do well. You have a great day. and my mom has always raised me like, you know, you never walk out of the house looking this and that type of way. It's not so much of a standard that I have in my mind of what I should look like, but it's just me feeling good about myself, whatever that means, you know, and it's however I want to define it. But when I put on makeup, to be honest, I love my skin. I love my complexion. I don't try to hide or alter it. I try to find, you know, tones that really fit my natural skin that aren't too heavy and cakey, depending on what I'm doing that day. But for my everyday routine, just something really light. I actually tried L'Oreal, their matte finish foundation. It gives you a real smooth finish. I love it, and I haven't been able to find anything, you know, that's not too cakey or too heavy and just not too light. So that's been my thing lately. I am a cat eye type of girl. I love eyeliner. Love it, love it, love it. That is my thing, mascara and eyeliner. And I like to do my little winged eye and eyebrows, and I'm good to go, and some lip gloss. Oh, and bronzer. Bronzer, that is my thing. And what was the second question?
The second question is, do you think makeup, I can't even remember how I phrased the question, but
confidence.
I think I was saying, yeah, do you think makeup helps to boost your self-esteem?
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much answered the question, you know, basically when you look good, you feel good. And you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. I think if I ever get to that place where I need anything that I wasn't naturally born with to make me feel good, that actually doesn't make me feel good. You know what I mean? Like if I can't wake up and be okay, like in my skin really, then I'm not okay with that.
Right.
But at the same time, I also know that I like to look polished. And to me, that means, as a woman, that means just looking together and clean, you know, however I want to do that day. If it means that I'm going to put on makeup and my lip gloss or whatever, however I want to define that day, that's how I feel. And I really don't like when people try to, like, make you feel bad. Like, oh, you wear makeup? Like, it's like they look down on you like you're, you know, you don't have any confidence or anything. And it's like, look, I look great with none of this on, you know?
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, I love my lips so much that I'm going to put some color on them. And I love them so much that I'm going to throw some gloss on top of them, you know? Like, that's me. So I don't think that you need anything to make you feel better about yourself. You got to love yourself first,
exactly,
and foremost. Yeah.
And the very last question: what is beauty to you?
Beauty, like I said, to me, beauty is loving yourself and being confident in who you are. And if you don't like things about yourself, being strong enough to know that and work on that, you know? Because to me, beauty is not anything, it's not so much a physical. To me, that's what, like, oh, you're pretty, you know, or you're attractive, you know? But beauty is something that really is on the inside of someone. Like, when you see them, it's like, God. Like, sometimes you don't even notice, like, certain features about them. It's a feeling that you get. Like, she's so beautiful. She has a beautiful spirit. You know, she's loving. She's caring. She's not intimidated by other women. She's confident. You know, she's open to other people. That, to me, is like, man, you're just so beautiful. To me, that's attractive. When people are attracted to you, that's beauty.
Right.
Not like a physical thing to me. But beauty is not perfection either. It's not perfection.
Right.
Beauty is like just knowing who you are, where you are, and just being like a good person, you know, or trying to be the best person that you can be. And
so
to
more
me,
of
when
the
I
inside.
See people like, yeah, it's more of an inside thing. And when I see people like that, that's beautiful to me. Like, those are the type of people that I want to be around. That's beauty, you know? It's not really
Absolutely.
Like anything physical or, you know, yeah, you're an attractive person, but if you're mean and you're nasty and as soon as you walk in the room, you're cutting your eyes at everyone or, you know, whatever, that doesn't attract people to you. That's not beautiful, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We enjoyed having you in our beauty news segment.
Thank you.
And good luck on your event and have a lot of fun. And it's the
yeah,
social fix that takes place this Thursday, 8 p.m. at Sweet Lounge, downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then how do they enter the event? Do they have to RSVP or is it just something they just show up?
Well, a couple different ways. The space is very intimate, so you know, we can't fit tons of people in there, you know, pretty much at a max of maybe about 50, 60. So it's kind mm-hmm. of one of those early bird specials, you know, get there as soon as you can.
Okay.
What I would like to do, I would love for everyone to RSVP on our Eventbrite. If you just look up the social fix, you can RSVP. That way, you know, if we do happen to run out of space, that, you know, we're able to let everyone know ahead of time. And, of course, you know, if that does happen, I will post that on my page. And you can follow the Chick Cave at the Chick Cave. And Chick is spelled C-H-I-C, like chic.
Mm-hmm.
So just stay posted. You know, if anything, if we have any updates, we'll definitely post it on the page. But I would love to see, you know, anyone who's able to attend. I'd love to meet you and, you know, just build together. But yeah, this Thursday. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, you're welcome. We'll definitely post it on our Beauty Talk page as well.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. And I just wanted to add one thing to the beauty news, and that is the American Beauty Show is coming to Chicago again, this time and it's March 12th through the 14th. So it's the American Beauty Show, March 12th through the 14th at the McCormick Place West in downtown Chicago. So we'll talk a little bit more in detail about that during next week's Beauty News segment. We'll find out what's going to be taking place at the show, what's happening. But, excuse me, I wanted to, again, remind everyone that if you want to join the conversations, if you have questions or comments, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. Now, tonight's guest, we had a pleasure of meeting in Pasadena at IMAX this past January. He is a makeup artist and a hairstylist. He's an educator. You may have even seen some of his beauty tutorials on YouTube. But he's here to join us tonight to talk about his career, some of his work with A-list celebrities on red carpet. He's going to tell us a little bit about all of it. I'm excited to get started. So welcome to the show, Matthias Allen. Let me bring him on. Hi, Matthias.
Hi, girls. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I sure can.
Yay.
We are wonderful.
Fantastic.
How are you?
I'm so good. I rushed across town from Venice Beach to West Hollywood to get here to talk to you girls tonight.
Oh, my God. Well, we appreciate
were you
that.
Working?
Were you working
yes,
today, or were you
was,
just hanging
was,
out?
No, not at all. I was working. I was doing a fashion editorial with a fantastic new fashion designer, and we started at 11, and we did 6 looks, and at 5:30, I was like, I got to go. I told him I had to leave at 5, but it was like the last look was getting, you know, changed at like 5:10, and I said, oh, I just can't let that last look have the same look as the look before. I have to change the eye and the lip. So I literally, like, changed her in 5 minutes and said, okay, I got to go. And I rushed over here in traffic. Well, actually, the traffic was not that bad. But, yes, I got here, and thank you for having me. I so appreciate it.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you cutting it short, saying I got to go, and getting across town. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you're on the air.
Yes.
Let's jump right into it. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and just let everyone know what inspired you to get into this world of beauty.
Well, First of all, my name is Matthias Allen. For those of you guys who don't know how to pronounce M-A-T-H-I-A-S, I'm glad that my girls do. But you can't believe how many things I've heard over the years. Matthias and Matthias and Matthias.
Trust me,
sure. So it's Matthias Allen. I started doing theater when I was a kid. I was bit by the acting bug. I've always wanted to be on stage. I used to want to be an actor and a dancer. I studied dance and acting throughout high school. I was in all the plays and musicals. But shortly after high school, I started going out and partying and having club life and club friends. And I fell in love with watching the drag queens perform up on stage and just seeing these men transform into women and don these costumes and just transform their faces. And in the late 90s, after I had graduated high school, Kevin O'Quan was a huge makeup artist and inspiration of the late 90s, mid-90s and such. And he came out with some makeup books where he transformed celebrities into other actresses and starlets from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. So I remember being inspired by that the transformation of makeup, the transformation of being able to play a different character, being able to completely like lose yourself in, a pound of lashes and lip gloss and eyeliner and lip liners and stuff. And so I started doing drag at a club, and I was performing there for about 3 years every Sunday. And I learned how to do makeup because a guy named Neil Robinson, who I adore, came up to me at the club one night. I had been performing for about a month. Like, I had done 4 shows every Sunday. And I was doing my own makeup. I had drag friends, but no one was a makeup artist. And so, what little I knew about makeup was, Max Factor used to be sold at Walgreens and Rite Aid, so I was using Max Factor Pan Stick Foundation, and I was using Revlon Blush, and I was using Maybelline eyeshadows, and just all the really, low-end product lines. And my friend Neil Robinson said to me, I work at the MAC counter in Orange County, and I want to do your makeup for the show next week. And I said, well, how much would you charge me? Like, I didn't understand why he was offering to do my makeup. I thought he wanted to, me to hire him. He said, no, I would love to do your makeup for free because I would love to stretch my skills as a makeup artist and learn how to take my makeup skills to the next level by transforming your face into a woman's face. So I tell this story a lot. Every Sunday for about 4 months, he came over to my apartment to get me ready, and I watched him in the bathroom mirror, and I asked him, why are you doing that, and why are you doing this, and what is that brush for, and why are you drawing the eyebrow there? And so he gave me all the basic makeup skills. Like, he gave me a whole MAC, makeup lesson at my bathroom studio for 4 months, and when he couldn't do it any longer, because I wasn't paying him, he was doing it for fun, when he couldn't do it any longer, I had to take over. And I started buying MAC products, and then I started buying, NARS products. And eventually, I loved doing my own makeup so much and transforming myself into, all these, 80s MTV icons of when I was a kid. I impersonated Boy George, and then I impersonated Cyndi Lauper, and I impersonated Madonna, and I impersonated Marilyn Monroe, and I was doing all these transformations, and after about a year of doing this, I said, I want to work in cosmetics. I want to work with real women, so I got a job working in cosmetics. My first job was with Makeup Forever, and I was there for a couple years, and then after I stopped working with Makeup Forever, I went on to work for Smashbox, and then NARS, and Kevin O'Quan Beauty, and then eventually I moved to Hollywood from Orange County, and I said, I don't want to work behind the counter anymore. I want to work with fashion models and celebrities and do red carpet. So for the last, 12 to 13 years since I left cosmetics, I've just been building my career and working with the right people and building my website and social media and all that stuff, which we'll get into in a little bit, I'm sure. But that was my first foray into the makeup world. I started learning how to build skyscrapers first, because when you learn drag makeup, you have to learn really big, over-the-top, sweeping motions of beauty and contour and highlight. Mm-hmm. And then when you start working with real women, working at the makeup counter, I was doing, 16-year-olds going to prom, and I was doing the moms going, to their anniversary dinner, and then I was starting to do weddings, so I had to learn how to do bridal makeup. So I learned skyscrapers first, and then I learned how to do small little track homes, if you will, small little beautiful homes. Real women is much smaller and easier to do, I would say.
Right, exactly. Now, you mentioned Kevin O'Quan. Who else inspires you as far as makeup artistry is concerned?
Oh, Kevin O'Quan was probably my first and biggest inspiration. And I think, honestly, truth be told, you know, the reason I think he inspired me the most is because in the 90s, you have to, you know, for those of you listeners who are young and who are living in this digital age that we are all living in now, you take for granted your Instagram and your Facebook and your Snapchat and your Pinterest. But when Janice Denise and I were kids, there was no social media. You know, there was no big makeup stars getting famous on these social media platforms on your phones.
Right.
Kevin O'Quan
right.
was the only, you know, Kevin O'Quan was like the only makeup artist that was on Entertainment Tonight talking about who he was doing for red carpet. Kevin O'Quan was on mm-hmm. Oprah like two or three times. You know, I mean, he surpassed the level of celebrity makeup artist that no one else had ever done at that time, you
right.
know. And so I was inspired by that because I wanted to I still had that acting bug. I still had that, like, need to be, like, you know, known or, you know, have my name up in lights. But I no longer wanted to be an actor. I now wanted to be a Kevin O'Quan, like, kind of celebrity makeup artist, you know. And then at that mm-hmm. time when I was discovering new makeup lines, Francois Nars was starting to come to the forefront. People were starting to see him and know who he was. And then Bobby Brown was starting to get big, and people knew who Bobby Brown was. And then Laura Mercier came around, and she was in all the magazines, and she had a makeup line. So I really, really, really wanted to kind of still follow that whole idea that I had as a kid where I want everyone to know who I am. I want to be everywhere. But I wanted to do it as a makeup artist. So other than Kevin, I was also really inspired by Billy B. Billy B was mm-hmm. one of my biggest inspirations as well. He did a lot of music videos in the heyday of mm-hmm. music, big budget music videos. So he worked with people like Missy Elliott, and he did all her videos. And he was a big inspiration to me. He recently has worked with Lady Gaga over the last few years. So I'm so inspired by Billy B. You know, Francois Nars and Laura Mercier were inspirations to me as well. They no longer do makeup as far as I know. I mean, I haven't really heard of anything that they're doing or anything. Their lines are gorgeous. I love their cosmetic lines. But as far as them as actual working makeup artists, I can't think of anything. What about you?
No,
have they done anything? Yeah.
Not that I can think of, yeah.
They're retired. They sold their lines for probably $100 million, and now they're, like, set for life.
Right. Right. what would you say when it comes to beauty, what would you say you're most known for? What's your style?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I've been told by agents as I've shown my book, you know, throughout the years, people, you know, agents have looked through my book and they've asked me the same question. They're like, you have to pick a style. We can only take you on if you have a style that people are going to go to. But I find that so limiting. And I go mm-hmm. back to my first love in makeup, which was drag queen. You know, I was mm-hmm. I was impersonating Cyndi Lauper one week, Madonna the next, and then the next week Boy George. So the art of transformation is so much more exciting to me to be able to do different things. And as far as the style goes, you know, I'm not one of those makeup artists that stamps a smoky eye and a nude lip on every single person that sits in my chair. I think that's boring.
Right. Right. Yes.
So although it does work for some people, I'm not saying everyone needs to be diverse like myself, but I understand that works for some people. I just don't want to be that guy that when you go to my Instagram page, you see nothing but the same face on every single person. That's too limiting to me. I would feel like I'm in a box, and I would get bored. I've been doing this 15 plus years, and if I did the same style on every single person, I feel like I'd be doing my clients a disservice because, you know, if J-Lo sits in my chair and then, you know, Heidi Klum sits in my chair, I'm not going to do exactly the same makeup on the two of them. You know, there's a different personality in that chair. There's a different persona. There's a different event that person needs to go to. So I find that my style, what I want to be known for is diversity. I want to be known for being able to transform somebody to a different character, depending if she's going to a red carpet event or if she's in a music video and she's plugging an album. You know, there's a different style of makeup for each, and I feel like I can do all of it.
Right. I really like that answer. Diversity.
Thank you.
Is very important in creating styles. And speaking of red carpet makeup, let's stop right there for a few minutes. You know, everyone doesn't do it. So do you think that it takes a certain type of artist to be able to pull off fabulous red carpet look?
A certain kind of artist. I don't know if it takes...
Qualities in an artist that's needed to be able to do red carpet, or you know, to do all the things. Like for instance, I know you do some bridal, I know you do some celebrity work. You know, red carpet is part of that. You do some editorials. Let's just talk about the differences between those different areas of makeup. You know,
Let's talk about on that subject. Let's talk about who you have in your chair that's walking the red carpet. Because that makes a big difference, okay? So I know there are some big makeup artists that are with agencies and they make $10,000 a day and say their client, I can't name names right now, but say their client is somebody like Reese Witherspoon, okay? Mm-hmm. So Reese Witherspoon is a beautiful Caucasian kind of, beauty that doesn't take a lot of work. She doesn't need, her nose doesn't need to be fixed with contouring and highlighting. She doesn't need, you know, full coverage foundation. She's probably got gorgeous skin. She never really shows up on the red carpet with much more than, you know, a wash of color, maybe some individual lashes and a nice glowing foundation, right? So you've got some big makeup artists who are working with these big A-listers and they can do pretty makeup. Now, then you get other celebrities on the red carpet who maybe they're like who was a good example? Some of the actresses who are maybe on the show Girls, right? The HBO show. They're not, those actresses maybe are more plain Jane, if you will. You know, they're not Jennifer Lopez types. They're not Heidi Klum types. You know, they're just kind of girl next doors. Well, to turn an actress like that out for the red carpet, you've got to have a little bit more skill. You've got to have a little bit more transformative skill set in your arsenal of artistry to really knock their face out for the red carpet. Because to take a plain Jane and to make her look like she's glamorous Veronica Lake style takes some practice and some skill and some tricks that you don't really need to use so much if you have somebody who is just naturally beautiful like Angelina Jolie.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Does that make sense? So what I find in my career, which has been really helpful, is going back to the things that I learned when I was doing drag. You know, I when I transformed my own face into a woman, it wasn't about one color of foundation and a pop of color on the cheek and a little bit of lip gloss. It was about three colors of foundation because you needed highlights, contours, and then a base color, all three different levels. And then you needed to then powder that down so that it would stay all night long under hot lights. And then you needed to add contour and highlight on top of that. And I had to reshape my cheek differently as Cyndi Lauper, who has a very round face. And then I contoured that differently as, say, Madonna, who has a very angular heart-shaped face. So I learned tricks from drag that I take into my work as a celebrity makeup artist because some people don't have naturally gorgeous bone structure like Angelina Jolie or Charlize Theron or Reese Witherspoon. Some actresses need a little bit extra oomph. And so I find that I work really well with actresses that really like to be transformed, that really like to go and take their faith to the next level. So for me, I really like working with people who like to wear makeup. Let's put it that way. Not somebody who just wants, you know, tinted moisturizer and some lip gloss and maybe, you know, some individual lashes. I mean, anyone can do that, in my opinion.
Right. Right.
That's so easy. And I know some makeup artists, I have a makeup artist that I've known for many years, and we used to do Fashion Week together in LA via Smashbox. And I'll never forget, she told me, I want to move to New York because I don't want to work on anyone over the age of 25. I just want to work on fashion models. I want to work on young, pretty, tall, beautiful models. That's my dream. I want to do fashion. And I remember thinking, well, that's awesome that you want to do that. You know, you want to go kind of like more the Pat McGrath, you know, career path. You want to go to New York. You want to work in London and Milan, and you want to do fashion models. But really, in my opinion, it's not as hard to do fashion makeup as it is to do celebrity red carpet makeup or work at E! Television like I've done for 10 years. Because when you get actresses, a lot of times they don't have just stunning, beautiful features. You have to create those with makeup and highlights and reshaping noses. So for me, it's more fun working with actors than with models, because models are scouted and pick to walk these runways and to be in these magazines because they already have those features.
Right, right.
So working with celebrities is, I believe, in my opinion, more of a challenge because that bone structure needs to be created. It needs to be enhanced. It needs to be brought out. So I feel like I've stayed in LA and gone the Kevin O'Quan path, and my friend, who I will remain nameless, moved to New York and went the Pat McGrath path.
Let me ask you this.
Oh my God, you guys are speechless.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking as you're talking. let me ask you. You spoke about, doing drag makeup and the heavy contouring and how, you know, it was just over the top, you know, an over the top style of makeup. What do you think about some of the makeup that we see today, especially in social media, mainly only in social media? I can't say only, because now what you see in social media and what you see in reality television is now transferring to real life. Women are thinking that this is how, you know, they're supposed to apply makeup. What do you think about all of the highlighting and contouring that's going on now?
Well, it's a very, very, very good question. And I think the topic, I've been thinking about that topic for the last couple of years because it's, you know, a lot of bloggers are talking about it, and there's a lot of pro makeup artists push back on the whole, you know, kill the Instagram brow and stop the contouring mania. And when I think about, you know, the evolution of what's happened with social media and how makeup trends have changed over the last, like, 5 years, I go back and I think about Kim Kardashian. And I think Kim Kardashian and Lady Gaga are the two biggest beauty trendsetters that have started this whole topic we're about to touch upon. I remember Kim Kardashian, when her show started, probably, 9-10 years ago now, you know, there was no Instagram. There was, you know, Facebook and Twitter. I think that was it. You know, there wasn't any social media. When Instagram started, maybe 6 years ago, I'm thinking, I'm not sure. Kim Kardashian was very smart and savvy in that she used social media to gain more followers, to gain more fans, to show, you know, her beautiful face to, you know, the social media audience. And I feel that Kim Kardashian's makeup artist was very smart in that when he painted her face, he painted it for social media. He didn't paint it for what it looks like in person. Because I've seen some of these reality stars and people on the street. And in real life, it's a lot of makeup. And that's what women don't understand in the Midwest and all over the world, is they think Kim Kardashian is so beautiful. Yes, she's beautiful, but it's not completely natural. I mean, let's see, I live in Hollywood. I'm a fan of Botox and Restylane and Juvederm. I think all those things are very helpful to help somebody look, you know, even younger and more beautiful than they were born with. I'm not bashing fillers. I think, you know, fillers are great. But let's just be real. Kim Kardashian has utilized fillers and things to make her face even more beautiful. So you're starting with a face that has been altered slightly. And then you're painting it to look perfect on a iPhone picture or to look perfect on a social media picture. So you're having to paint it very heavily, because when you take a picture on social media on your iPhone or your Android phone, when you only do makeup like you're going to run to the store or run to the marketplace, you're not going to see the same level of perfection. It's the same with paparazzi photos. You know, I remember I was working at Neiman Marcus in about 2002, I think, 2003 maybe. It's probably the last time I was working in cosmetics. And I was freelancing with Kevin Aucoin Cosmetics, and Jennifer Lopez walked in. And Jennifer Lopez came up to the counter, and she had sunglasses on, and she was looking at product. And I said, Is there anything I can help you with? And she said, no, I'm okay. So she was looking at stuff, and I was checking her out. And she was flawless and gorgeous, and her skin was glowing, and her, you know, there was not a pore or a freckle or a mole or anything. It was gorgeous. But I'll never forget when she went to pay for her product, she pulled out her credit card and took her sunglasses off. Now, her sunglasses had left a divot on each side of her nose that had removed the half-inch layer of foundation and concealer. So you could see how much makeup was on her skin when she removed her sunglasses. Now, I'm not bashing wearing makeup. I think makeup is gorgeous. That's why I'm in this business. I love makeup. But I just think that people who are listening who don't understand how much makeup it takes to look that perfect in a photograph on social media or in a paparazzi shot, they need to understand that when a paparazzi is waiting outside of Neiman Marcus to take a picture of you because you're shopping, you have to be painted to perfection, because you know that that picture is going to end up in the Star magazine or the People magazine or whatever magazine, you know, is they're taking the photo for. So these reality stars and these people like Jennifer Lopez and Beyonce and people who are constantly being taken photos of by paparazzi, they have to be painted to perfection at all times. And I think that, I know I'm rambling, but I think that a lot of people in the Midwest don't understand that what it takes to look that good is wearing a lot of makeup. Now let's go back. When this first started, people didn't understand, but now they've caught on. So to answer your question about social media, now the Instagram brow and the heavy contour and the full coverage makeup, that actually is just a sign of people catching on to that story that I just told you guys, which 10 years ago, people didn't understand. Now with social media and people doing selfies of themselves, now they see that a tinted moisturizer and a little bit of concealer on a blemish is not enough to look perfect in a photograph. You have to put a full coverage foundation on and pack it on with powder and light it with a ring light. And you have to do all these tricks that the celebrities do to look that perfect in order to look that good yourself. So all that's happened, in my opinion, is that the Kim Kardashians and the J-Lo's, now the tricks are out. Now with things like YouTube, which I have a YouTube channel for where I show pro makeup artist tips and tricks, you know, people are doing YouTube videos about how to do makeup and look perfect in selfies and all that stuff. So now the information is out there for all the girls around the world to do. And I think that's why you're seeing so much makeup. They're not wearing any more makeup than some of these reality stars and celebrities. They're just now doing it because they want to look as perfect as the celebrities as well. And that's what it takes.
You spoke of YouTube. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing on YouTube.
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, I remember about 7 years ago or 8 years ago when Michelle Phan became a big YouTube star. I remember thinking, she's not even a makeup artist. You know, she's just a cute little Asian girl who's doing some really cool YouTube tutorials, and now she's got 1 million followers. So weird to me. And I remember I was pushing back on the idea of doing video tutorials. I thought, well, why am I going to give that information away? Why people should hire me to teach them, you know? And people like Billy B should be hired to teach. Why would Billy B start a YouTube channel? Like, you know, and after about 3 years or 4 years of her becoming really big and then other YouTubers becoming really big, I started seeing a change in the world of pro makeup artistry. And Denise and Janice, you can probably, you know, chime in on this. I know I'm talking a lot, but, you know, I really feel that we all started seeing a change at these big makeup trade shows, where a lot of the trade shows over the last 2 or 3 years have stopped asking professional working makeup artists to do seminars and Emmy and Oscar winning makeup artists doing seminars, because what happened was, you know, 40 or 50 people were in the room. But then if you ask a YouTube star who is a great makeup artist on herself when she does her own YouTube videos and has gained a following of 500,000, you know, or up, on their YouTube channel, if you ask them to go to your makeup trade show and do a meet and greet or a seminar, all of a sudden you've got, you know, 500,000 tickets or so, because everyone wants to go and meet that person in person, right?
Right.
And so there is this shift in social media where all of a sudden social media makeup artists were starting to get invited to go and do seminars. So I decided, play or hate the game. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I'm not mad at anybody who's sitting at home and doing their own makeup and doing YouTube videos and creating a following and a fan base. That they're working hard, because I know now that I have a YouTube channel, I know how much time and effort it takes. So
right.
I'm not hating them. I'm kind of like mad at the game. But you know what?
Right.
I decided to play the game. I'm not going to get mad at the makeup show people or the IMATS people. It's like, you know what? That's the name of the game. They got to sell tickets. It's a business. It's their brand. They want to get people in that room. Then great. You get this big star. So I decided about 3.5 years ago that I wanted to start my own YouTube channel. And I decided I would focus on doing tutorials based on all the work and all the tricks and all the information that I have in my head and my career. And where my YouTube channel is different, I feel, is that I'm a professional working makeup artist who still to this day does jobs, does celebrities for the red carpet, works at E. You know, I'm still, you know, invoicing, and I'm still sending out resumes, and I'm still, you know, meeting and greeting people, trying to, you know, get the next gig. As a freelancer, you're always going to be looking for your next job. And,
mm-hmm.
But when I'm slow, which, you know, I don't work 6 days a week, I work, you know, maybe 6 days out of the month. And when I'm not working the other 20 days of the month, I'm sitting at my computer and I'm editing videos and I'm researching new products to buy and using an upcoming YouTube video, and I'm forecasting spring trends and fall trends, and I'm asking models to come to my house or family members or girlfriends. I've had my mom on my channel, so I do videos about, you know, women over 60. I do,
mm-hmm.
I have a playlist about bridal makeup and how to do bridal makeup, how to touch up bridal makeup after it's been on for 4 hours. I have a video where I did that. So my focus on my YouTube channel is, yes, professional makeup tutorials, but it's not me sitting in the chair just doing my own makeup like a lot of the
right.
YouTube girls are. It's me doing makeup on girls. It's me doing makeup on a client. And I do African-Americans. I do Indians. I do Asians. I do a wider range of clients. I also have I do 3 videos a week. And on Mondays, I do a sit-down interview-style video called Monday Makeup Chat, where I sit with fellow makeup artists, fellow hairstylists, fellow fashion stylists, and we talk about how to work in the industry. We talk about, you know, how to break into the industry. We talk about what to bring to set. On Fridays, I do a series, not every single Friday, but probably like once a month, I'll do a Fierce Face Friday episode, and that's where I'll focus on drag queen makeup, character makeup, editorial makeup, avant-garde makeup. So my channel is very diverse. Because like I said at the beginning, I believe that diversity is key to my success. And being a diverse makeup artist is, I feel, really important if you're going to be a freelancer, because in this business, it can be a struggle getting jobs. It can really be a struggle. And if you're only good at doing bridal makeup, then you're never going to get booked to do editorials. Or if you're only good at doing editorial avant-garde makeup, you're never going to get booked to do a bride. And if you're only good at, working on models who are 16 and have perfect skin because you live in New York and that's all you ever do is models, for fashion and lookbook stuff, then you're never going to get booked to do a celebrity red carpet look, because not all actresses can only walk on the red carpet with tinted moisturizer and lip gloss. Like I said, it takes some special tricks that I learned from drag. So I feel that my channel is very diverse, and if anyone would like to subscribe to my channel, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you'll get a brand new video. And what I've learned too about YouTube is that I like to go into details and I like to teach. So at the beginning of my YouTube career or YouTube, foray, I was having a model come over and I would do a full makeup application. And I would turn it into a 10-minute video where I touched upon just like one product for foundation, one product for brow, one product for blush, and then I talked about, what lipstick I did. But then I had so many comments saying, well, what did you use for concealer? And, well, can you slow down the part about the brows? Because I really don't understand how you got the brow to look like that. You went through it so fast, because the YouTube community really, they have a very short attention span. So people don't want to watch videos longer than, like, let's say, 7 minutes. So what I found is that when I'm doing a makeup tutorial, or let's put it this way, when I'm doing a makeup demo in class with, like, students, if I can spend 2 hours doing a makeup application because I'm explaining for, like, the first 20 minutes why I'm exfoliating the skin and why it's important to hydrate the skin and maybe you should get a mask. And these are the kind of masks that I like to use, and this and that. So when I do a makeup demo for a class, it could take 2 hours. But on YouTube, nobody wants to sit for longer than 7 minutes. So what I've found is now I'll take a model into my chair, and I'll do a full makeup application, but now I'll break it up into a series. So I'll do part one will be how I exfoliated and hydrated the skin. Come back next week and you'll see how I did the foundation and complexion products. So then the following week you'll see part two where I talk about the primer and the foundation and the concealer and what brushes I used and why I chose to use a beauty blender or not, or why I chose to use my fingers to warm up the concealer as opposed to a concealer brush. And I'll spend 10 minutes talking about just those steps. And then I'll say, come back next week for part three, where I talk about how to powder the face and how to blush the face and how to contour the face. And so now I do it in steps. So my channel is very, very detail-oriented, and I teach.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely appreciate a professional artist on YouTube, versus someone that's just doing makeup on themselves.
Do you see a difference?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For sure.
It's different, right? And, I mean, it's one thing doing makeup on yourself and making it look flawless and doing, 100 different looks on yourself. I mean, one of the YouTubers that I love watching is Nikki Tutorials. Are you guys familiar with Nikki?
I think I've seen her once or twice.
She's a blonde girl. She's got blue eyes. She's a little chubby in the face. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's amazing. I think she's great at what she does. But she's a great example of somebody who does like a very heavy-handed, over-the-top transformation makeup on herself. And she, I think, is one of the major influencers of this trend that you see in young girls who want to wear a ton of makeup. And it's, like I said, I'm not bashing a lot of makeup because I love makeup. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing, a full coverage foundation and beat it down with some powder and contour the heck out of it, because I know that that's going to look really great on camera. Now, it may not look so great when you're standing next to the person 2 feet away, but I feel that what I've learned too is when you're filming something on video, you have to almost go a little bit heavier handed in order for those steps or those colors to show up on video on your computer or on your phone. I think that's the other thing that I think is very interesting about social media, is that you know, the kind of make it that we all did in the 90s and the early 2000s, it just doesn't translate to a social media Instagram photo. I think the Instagram brow and the contoured nose and the sparkly kind of tip of the nose that all the girls have stolen from the drag community, because that all started in drag. All these big major makeup trends, like the banana powder under the eye that Kim K's makeup artist, you know, everybody like freaked out when she, you know, there was that picture of Kim K highlighted and contoured and banana powder. All those tricks we were doing in the drag community in the 70s and 80s and 90s. You know, it's just now starting to come over into the real women world. And I'll just touch upon real quick Lady Gaga. I mentioned her earlier. Lady Gaga, when she came on the scene in 2008 and she started doing music videos where she was like the antithesis of the Taylor Swift, you know, it was like all of a sudden you saw somebody who was not afraid of makeup and transformation and funky colors and transforming her face. I think between Kim Kardashian and Lady Gaga, that really changed the makeup world over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. It's because people like that really made it okay to wear makeup again. And I think those are the two biggest beauty influencers that I feel really changed the game of what we're seeing now with all the young girls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you, what do you think makes a great makeup artist?
Oh, what do I think makes a great makeup artist? I think definitely somebody who is diverse. I think there are a lot of talented makeup artists. There are a lot of working makeup artists. But I think a great makeup artist, the quality of a great makeup artist, like, you know, like Alexander the Great, you know, I mean, there were a lot of conquerors and there were a lot of kings, but there was Alexander the Great, you know. So I personally feel like a great makeup artist, like a Kevin O'Quan or myself, if I can be so bold as to put myself in the same level as Kevin, is somebody who is diverse, somebody who can really take a person's face and transform them from magazine to film to television appearance to music video and you know, take the same face and transform it across all mediums. Somebody who is really diverse. Another great quality of a great makeup artist is product knowledge. I think product knowledge is so important. One of the things that I feel has helped me in my career with product knowledge is knowing if a foundation is oil-based or water-based or silicone-based. Because I know that if I put on a foundation that's an oil-based foundation, I know that that is going to make the skin glow, because oil is going to look creamier, it's going to look moist. So if I do, like today I did a fashion photo shoot, and I wanted the model skin to look really hydrated and glow. So I used primer water from Smashbox, which is brand new. I just got it in my kit. So I sprayed her down with primer water. I read through the ingredients to find out what exactly was in it. It had squalene oil, and it had, I think, a little bit of silicone, but then it also had, like, hydration humectants in it. So I knew that it was going to kind of lay on the skin and stay very dewy. It wasn't going to just disappear into the pore. And then on top of that, I used an oil from Jurlique Skincare, which is like a facial oil or a facial serum. So I hydrated her skin very heavily. And then on top of that, I put on an oil-based foundation so that the foundation wouldn't just sink into the pore. It was then going to sit on top of the Jurlique oil, which was then on top of the primer water. So the skin stayed very oily and very dewy looking, because I knew from my product knowledge and my discovery and my, you know, research that all those products laying on top of each other were going to stay very dewy on the skin. So I think product knowledge is very important. It's what you really need to know if you're going to start mixing products. And definitely the ability to transform a face, not just looking at a face and saying, okay, this is what they taught me in makeup school. So I put a little brow pencil here, and I put a little color corrector under the eye here, and then I take a little bit of concealer, and I put it on this pimple and that pimple, and then I put a little lightweight foundation all over, and then I set it lightly with some powder on a brush, and then I put a little blush on the cheek. Like, no, that's not transforming a face. That's just basically putting the colors where you were taught to put them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not transforming, you're just applying. And so the difference between a great makeup artist and just, you know, a makeup applicator is somebody who knows how to put things maybe where they don't necessarily are supposed to go, you know, bending the rules, you know, changing the face, changing the proportions of the face.
Right. Tell me, what are, give me at
That's
least
a good
five
point,
products.
Actually.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, really? Thought so?
Give me like five products that you think every makeup artist should have in their bags, in their kit.
Okay. Number one is an exfoliator or some kind of exfoliation tool. I'm a big believer in my Clarisonic tool. I can't tell you how many people I've sat down in my chair and the skin is rough, like the surface of the moon. You know, it's just like it's rough and it hasn't been, you know, exfoliated in weeks. And I'll ask, you know, when was the last time you had a facial? And they'll say, oh, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had one or it's been months. And I say, well, do you exfoliate like once a week? And they'll say, no, should I? And I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, so let me break out my exfoliator. So I'll give a model or an actress like a mini facial, because when the skin has not been exfoliated, no amount of makeup or hydration will make that complexion look perfect. So you really have to like slough off all the dead skin and all of the just roughness on their face. So sometimes I'll even pull out a Clarisonic tool if it's a celebrity client or you know, a Beverly Hills or Brentwood client that's paid me to come to their house for a big event. I will pull out a Clarisonic tool and heat up some water in the microwave and give her a mini facial and then wipe that down with a warm washcloth. And the skin is just so different. It reacts so differently after it's been exfoliated. So I think an exfoliator or a Clarisonic tool is very important. And I'm a big believer in hand wipes or a hand sanitizer. I'm not one of those makeup artists that, and you'll see on my YouTube channel if you watch me, I have a palette that sits almost like a wrist cuff. And I put all my products on my palette, and I never use the back of my hand. I have a phobia about dirty hands. I don't like makeup on my hands. I don't like makeup on my fingers. So I will go through at least 10 hand wipes during a makeup application, because I don't even like my, like, I like clean hands, clean fingers, hand sanitizer, or spray sanitizer from Zhao, what's that one called? You know, the blue one?
Zhao.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So hand sanitizer is really important. I also believe false eyelashes should be in everybody's kit. I love false eyelashes. I think you're doing your clients a disservice unless you add some false eyelashes. I also really love black eyelash glue. I know a lot of people love Duo, but if it comes out white, you're going to have to cover it up with eyeliner because it never dries clear.
Yeah, exactly.
So, black eyelash glue, I always have that. I think Lash Grip is the brand that I like.
Which brand?
I think it's by Lash Grip. Or Duo Black Tone. I think.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
For some reason, I think the black always tends to just stick better and dry better. And then my last two things are, of course, for complexion. So a fabulous silicone-based foundation. I think a silicone foundation is your best bet. If you're only going to invest in, like, one foundation, make sure it's a silicone-based foundation, not an oil-based and not a water-based. Make sure it's a silicone-based foundation, because a silicone-based foundation will look good on a dry skin or an oily skin or a combination skin, and you can thin it out or, you know, layer it if you want more coverage, because silicone lays on top of silicone very easily. So you can do two layers of a silicone-based foundation, whereas with an oil-based foundation, you get a slip and a slide. You can't layer it. And with a water-based foundation, it goes on so sheer kind of like MAC Face and Body, I think is maybe a water-based foundation, possibly. And anything that's just that sheer, it's just not enough coverage. So a silicone-based foundation and a full coverage concealer. Have a full coverage concealer. I love RCMA. I love Cat Cosmetics concealer. I also really love the It Cosmetics waterproof concealer. It comes in a tube. It's very, very thick and pigmented. But if you put that onto your palette and warm it up with your fingertip, you can get it to go really sheer. And you can always do more with a full coverage concealer because you can thin it out or use it sparingly. But if you're using something like I do private lessons with women in their homes who will hire me to come teach them how to do makeup. And I always suggest that I say, oh, I'll bring my own makeup kit to give you suggestions. But what I'd really like to see is what you already have and what you're using so I can teach you how to work with what you have. And if a woman pulls out like one of those Lancome or Estee Lauder concealers that come in like a lip gloss tube, you know, the kind with a sponge tip applicator.
Yes.
Those are so watery and so lightweight that they just don't give enough coverage. And you can layer them, but you can't really get a full coverage out of them. You can't really hide under eye circles really well, or a pimple or a freckle or a tattoo or a mole or a birthmark. So if you start with a full coverage concealer, you can cover a tattoo and a birthmark, and then you can thin it out and cover a pimple or an under eye circle. So those are my top five favorite things.
What do you think about Kevin O'Quinn's skin enhancers as concealers?
I love the consistency because it is a full coverage concealer, and
mm-hmm.
I love that you can thin it out with like a silicone primer or an oil-based serum. But can I capitalize the H and the A and the T and the E? I hate the colors. I can't stand the colors. The colors
really
are awful. I cannot stand them. Now, you girls are African American, so there is probably a lot of yellow olive undertones in your skin, and that's great. You can probably use them very, very well. But when you're working with Caucasian women who are Eastern European descent, who are pink or red undertones,
mm-hmm.
none of the Kevin O'Quinn concealers will work on them because they're all yellow-green, except for number 9. Number 9 is a really beautiful peach that has
yes,
a little
it
bit of it's a slight. But the problem is I wish that he had made, I remember because I used to freelance for them, so I can still remember the numbers. So number 1 is like the Nicole Kidman color. It's super, super white and light. And then,
mm-hmm.
and it's slightly pink. Number 2 through number 8 are all yellow. And number 9 is that peachy. So the problem is if I have somebody who's in like the number 3 or 4 range, somebody who
mm-hmm.
is Caucasian, I can't mix number 9 to give it a little bit more peachy red tone because it makes it too dark.
Right.
So I wish that he had made a number 9 tone, like a peachy pink, but I wish it had been like number 2 or number 3 or something like lighter, because all of the colors are just yellow-green. And there's some of them I wouldn't even put on people because they make you look like a cadaver. I don't know where he got the idea to do a couple of the colors, but they're so beige. They're almost beige. And beige,
you know,
is not good.
I'm glad I asked you that question because I was thinking of getting some of the lighter colors because I only have, I think, 9 through 16. And so I'm glad I did ask you that question.
Yeah, if you're gonna get them, I think I do number 1. I think number 1 is, you know, the lightest. You should always,
mm-hmm.
if you're gonna, my suggestion too for anybody who does like a foundation run is, you know, if a foundation line has 15 colors, get the lightest one, get the darkest one, and then get 2 in the middle. You know,
right.
So if you already have all the dark ones, you should get number 1, and then you should maybe get like 4 or 5, something like that. Yeah, and see how that works for you.
All right, I'll try it.
All right, and then
I'm sorry.
What?
I was going to ask Matthias, we talked about social media. Wanted to know quickly, how has social media helped you in your career?
Well, social media is so important, and I think that it's important because, you know, and the three of us can all talk about this, you know, 15 years ago, you were lucky if you had a website, you know.
Right.
It was like the only way to really get the name, your brand out there was through a website. And 15 to 20 years ago, it was very expensive to build a website. You had to hire a web designer. Somebody who knew HTML codes, and you had to, you know, all this stuff. So the power of social media is so great because, you know, not only do I have a website, which nowadays you can build on your own because it's all drag and drop, you know, my website is MatthiasForMakeup.com, and it's just like on all my social media, my name is the same. It's Matthias with the number 4 in the middle and then makeup, so Matthias for Makeup. And my website is MatthiasForMakeup.com, and I've built it so that you can see my, you know, celebrity red carpet portfolio and my fashion editorial portfolio and my beauty portfolio, and you can see, you know, my bridal work. And it's very important to have your website because people want to know that you are professional enough to have had built a website. But with social media, it's very important as well to also be connected to the youngsters and the young groups who maybe don't go to websites. They don't go and look for things on the internet as well. They just kind of play with their phones and look at Instagram or look at Snapchat. So it's very important to be fluid throughout all social media. So I'm a big, big, big proponent for social media. I'm building a social media curriculum right now that I'll be teaching at the April Love Makeup Academy in March, and it's going to be a 3-hour seminar on the basics of social media and how important it is. So for me, when I send an email out, my email signature says, you know, find me on Instagram. Here's my link. Find me on Pinterest to see what I'm inspired by. Here's my link. Find me on Google+. Here's my link to that. Find me on Twitter. If you have any questions for me, tweet me. You know, find me on Facebook and like my business page because, you know, I do promos and I do giveaways on my Facebook, business channel. And find me on Periscope now because I'm doing live behind the scenes, you know, vlogs on Periscope, which is an amazing application, which for me has been like an add-on to my YouTube channel because my YouTube channel is fantastic because it shows people, well, to answer your question more specifically, my YouTube channel has been great because when I get a bride who says, hey, I came across your Yelp business page because I'm also on Yelp, right? People can leave me reviews and learn about my work on Yelp when they're searching for makeup artists in LA. So they'll email me and say, I'm looking for a bridal makeup artist. Can you send me your rates? And I'll say, well, let's talk on the phone. So we talk on the phone and I give them my general rates. And they say, oh my gosh, that's way out of my price range. Why do you charge so much? And I say, well, first of all, I've been doing this over 15 years. And second of all, have you seen my YouTube channel? And they'll say no. And I'll say, well, go to my YouTube channel and I'm going to send you a link to my playlist, Bridal Makeup Tutorials. Because if you watch how I work and you watch the care and expertise and style and sophistication that I put into a makeup application in a 10-minute video, you'll get a feeling of why I charge so much. You know, I remember when I was freelancing with Smashbox like 10 or 12, 15 years ago, a fellow makeup artist at Smashbox said, do you like doing weddings? And I said, yeah, I do. I do like working with brides. She goes, oh, I love doing brides. They're so easy and all the bridesmaids. And I just use Bare Minerals on everybody. I get everybody done in 30 minutes. And I charge $100 per face. And I said, are you effing kidding me? You charge $100 to do a bridesmaid and you're doing a Bare Minerals face on them? That's crazy. Anyway, the point to that story is that if you want to pay $100, you're going to get somebody who's going to like throw on some tinted moisturizer or Bare Minerals to your face and then say, okay, you're ready to go. Well, that's not going to last all day. What I do for a client by layering products, sculpting the face, highlighting and contouring, gluing on lashes, sometimes 2 pairs, that's worth 3 times that much. And so that's why I charge more. And my YouTube has helped me explain that. The other thing that really helped by having a YouTube channel was last summer, I was contacted by a production company who was putting together a new beauty makeover show for TLC. And they said, we're looking for an on-camera beauty expert to be in charge of the makeovers. And I said, great. And they said, well, we got your name and number from so-and-so. I think it was a fellow hairstylist or maybe a production person I had worked with years past. And they said, do you have any examples of your work? And I said, yes, I have my website you can go to. I also have a YouTube channel so you can see how I am on camera. And they're like, oh, that's perfect, because we'll be able to show your YouTube channel to our executive producers at TLC, and they can see what you're like on camera, because this is a job for you to talk and act and present yourself on camera. So my YouTube channel helped me to get my TLC job last summer, where I was the beauty expert on Dare to Wear. So it was very helpful to have that on my YouTube channel.
Nice. That's great. So, you know, I think people, even myself, sometimes I get lazy with it. And I guess really, and maybe you have a comment on this, but I guess it really depends on what you want to get out of it. You know, for those people who are really not interested in using it as a tool to get different experiences with their career, they just do it socially every once in a while or throw a picture up. You know, I guess that's fine if that's not what you want to do. But do you agree that for some people, because there are a lot of people out there who want to be brand ambassadors and things like that, I agree that social media is very, very important for those people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you asking me, or are you just
I'm just basically saying, making a statement, but I mean, that's what I've found. For those people who are interested in that type of thing, social media is very important. I just don't, you know, I don't want people to think that, because if you're a makeup artist out there and you work at the makeup counters and that's all you really care to do, you know, I don't see where social media would have to be that important for you. But
well, I see what you're saying. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not interested in putting the time and effort it takes to build your social media fan base, then that's mm-hmm. that's cool. I mean, it's your life, it's your perspective. But what I find is that, like, when I do go to do this class curriculum, you know, I've had a lot of young makeup artists and makeup assistants ask me over the years, you know, I don't have time to build an Instagram, or I don't know how to do it, and I don't really, what's the point? And I say, well, you know, if you don't want to put the time and effort into it, that's your prerogative. I said, but what's happening now in social media, and I've met a couple of Instagram celebrities, if you will, you know, I've collaborated with a couple of them on my YouTube channel last year. And one of them, you know, I won't say his name, but I found him on Instagram last spring, and I liked some of his work. And he had about, I don't know, 30,000 followers at the time. And he came over and he said, you know, I asked him about social media. I said, how is it that you get so many followers? You know, what's the key? And he says, well, you have to know what to tag. You have to know what hashtags to use. You have to collaborate with the right people. You know, doing collaborations with other big Instagrammers is key. And he said, I don't have a website, and I'm getting jobs because the people are finding me on Instagram. So to him, the more people he has following him, the more chance he has of being discovered by a person who is looking to hire a makeup artist.
Right.
So I feel that it is important in 2016 to have a big fan base, and only because, not because it makes you a better makeup artist, but it spreads the word of your brand and what you're capable of to a wider audience, and the potential of getting hired by somebody who doesn't have the time to go on the internet and search LA-based makeup artists or Florida-based makeup artists, but they are looking at their Instagram and they are kind of coming across a beautiful shot you did either on yourself or on a model or an actress, and they're saying, oh, who did that? Oh, and they go to your page and they send you a DM, or they find your email address if your email is in your bio. It's another way of having a portfolio, and it's something that it 15 years ago we didn't have the option to have that. You know, it's like now there's so many different areas for you to get discovered and get the next potential job. So for me, it's it's a smart way to get my name out there to a wider audience.
Right. This is true.
It's just my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
But everyone's entitled to, you know, spend the time that they have in their free time, however they want to spend it.
Right. You know, and you know what? And that's the thing. It definitely takes free time to build your social media, because if you're an artist who's always working, a lot of times you can't be on social media the way you would love to. And because your numbers aren't as high as the next person's doesn't mean that you aren't a great makeup artist. You know what I mean? Or that you, I don't know, that you, you know, you're not, I guess, I don't know if it makes you less popular as somebody else or maybe less popular on Instagram. But I don't know. It's just, I guess it can go both ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a popularity contest. I mean, you know, it's and I know that turns a lot of people off to it because they don't want to play the popularity game, I feel, is what's holding a lot of people back. But let's put it this way. Okay, so when I started Instagram 5 or 6 years ago, I had a personal name, like Matthias Allen, 33 or something like that. And I was putting, you know, some work on it and then a lot of fun family, friends, pictures. And then about a year and a half into it, I realized, you know what, I just want to have a makeup one, because a lot of these Instagrammers are becoming really popular because all they're posting is makeup. So I started a second Instagram account, and it's Matthias for Makeup on Instagram. Like I said, Matthias 4 with the number 4 makeup on all my social media platforms. And so I started my business Instagram, and it's all business related. So it's behind the scenes shots of me with Selena Sleva from Orange is the New Black over SAG Awards weekend. So there's like 10 shots of that. And then, you know, when I'm teaching at a makeup school or when I was doing the Art Directors Guild Awards and I was working with like LL Cool J and Jamie Presley. So all the behind the scenes shots plus makeup. Anyway, the point is, I've built my Instagram up to almost 10,000 followers, my business one, but my personal one, which I never touch anymore, I only have about 233 people following me, and that's fine because I want to keep it more private because that's where I post family stuff. But when I went to Disneyland this week and I logged into my personal account and I posted a picture of me and my friends at Disneyland, I only had 4 people like a photo because I only have 233 people following me. But when I post a picture on my business account, I have 100 to 150 people like it. So for me, it is important to build up your social media following, like on things like Instagram, because that's 150 people who have liked a photo of me either doing makeup or a picture of me with a celebrity. And that's now 150 people who have me in the back of their mind as, oh, I love following that guy, Matthias, for makeup. He's a real pro working makeup artist. So then say one of those 150 people meet somebody who's a production person, and that production person says at dinner with this person who's a fan of mine, I'm looking for a makeup artist for this job next week in LA. God, I just can't think of anyone. I have now almost 10,000 people who may possibly have the chance to go, oh my God, you know what? I follow this guy named Matthias for Makeup on Instagram, and he lives in LA, and he's phenomenal. Go check him out. So in that way, I feel it is important to build up your social media fan base, because you never know who's going to have you in the back of their mind as that person that they follow, who they love, and then be able to drop your name when a job comes up.
Right. That's right. Right. Last question. What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me. Beauty is so many things. I mean, beauty. Well, okay, so I was thinking about this question because you did send me this question in advance. So I will just tell everyone out there I was thinking about this. And and I appreciate you sending the questions ahead so I can think about them. Outside beauty is attainable. Outside beauty is something that you can attain and create in under an hour. You know, being a makeup artist or learning how to do your own makeup, even if you're not an artist on other people, it's something that you can learn to attain. So outer beauty is something that you can attain and very quickly. But inner beauty, something that comes from within, things like holding the door open for somebody. If you're a woman, that means holding the door open for an elderly person who's coming in behind you, you know, saying please and thank you. I have this thing about when I meet somebody and we go to lunch or go to dinner, if the person that I'm sitting with does not look the waitress or the bartender in the eye, I think that is so, like, wrong. I think that everyone deserves to be looked in the eye. Everyone deserves, you know, a glance or a smile or a hello. So that's what inner beauty is to me. And inner beauty is also attainable, but it's something that you need to work on if you're not born with it. I think a lot of people are beautiful on the inside, and they're just born that way. You know, there are those best friends that we have in life, or those mothers or fathers that we have who are just beautiful on the inside and out, and we just love them, and they're just beautiful people, and they're born with it. And a lot of times, I know a lot of people in recovery, who have stopped drinking and using drugs, and they've gone to therapy, and they've worked on their inner beauty. You know, they've worked on it with a therapist, or they've worked on it through a spiritual path, and finding enlightenment through meditation. And I just want to put that out there that, you know, inner beauty is more important than outer beauty, but it too is attainable if you just work on it and you find your center, you find that. And you realize, in my opinion, that everyone is the same. You know, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what country you live in. I think we're all the same. We all have the same fears. We all have the same desires. You know, it's to be loved. It's to be paid respect to. It's to, you know, find someone that gets us, you know, a friend or a partner or a lover or a husband or a wife. It's finding connections. And we all want the same thing. You know, we want to be connected. And inner beauty comes from knowing who you are and knowing that we're all the same. Because if you know that we're all the same, then you will say hi to a stranger. You will, you know, get up, give your seat to somebody else if they look like they need to sit down.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Matthias, it has been wonderful speaking with you. I'm so happy we were able to make it happen. Thank
you. Me too. I'm so happy too. I would love to, you know, anytime you want to talk about some other subjects or new subjects, just let me know. I would love to sit down and talk with you girls again.
Absolutely. I was going to tell you, that this is not the last time, so you would definitely have me back.
Good. I would love to. And I'm going to share this on Twitter and Instagram and my Facebook page. I'm going to put a link. And
oh, great.
Thank you guys. Yeah, we need to do all that. Social media is so important, you know.
Yep, we just talked about it.
Yes, we did. And, you know, for all of you guys listening out there, I would love for you guys all to follow me on social media. So you can find me, Matthias for Makeup, and it's MATHIAS. The number 4, and then Makeup, Matthias for Makeup, on all social media platforms. So, definitely do that. And, I was on my YouTube channel posting my IMATS behind-the-scenes vlogs because I was filming at IMATS where I met the girls. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with all my footage after filming for 3 days with the intention of doing, like, a 15-minute behind-the-scenes vlog. And, girls, let me tell you, I had so much footage. I did 6 10-minute videos, and they're all in my YouTube channel now. Parts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I'm going out there tonight.
Please check it out. The only thing I regret is I didn't get to interview you guys because it just didn't work out. So you're not in them, but next time I get to see you in person, we have to do a video for my YouTube together.
Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
Yay.
We will make it happen.
And you guys got to keep Periscoping, too, because I love seeing you on Periscope.
Absolutely. I'm going to try to get on there this week.
Okay.
All right.
You know how you said you don't have a lot of time because you're always working?
Mm-hmm.
Well, girl, you know, we've been on sets, not the same set, but we've been on sets together. And it's like you spend 2 hours getting everybody ready, and then there's 2 hours of downtime before you have to do anything else. So that's the time when you could be posting on social media, retouching photos.
You know what?
You're right.
Let me tell you about this past week.
There wasn't two
minutes to go to the bathroom.
Are you serious?
It was crazy. Our very first day, we did 16 hours the first day.
Oh, wow.
And it was downhill the whole week. So let's just hope this week is much better. At least the first couple of days.
What are you girls working on right now?
We're working on the third season of a show called Survivor's Remorse. It's on the
Stars Network.
Ooh,
it's a half hour comedy, but I swear it feels like we're shooting a movie.
Really? It's a half hour comedy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I call it a dramedy, but you know.
Well, I'm gonna check it out. Is it on Netflix?
It should be, yeah.
I think it is, yeah. Okay. It was tough this past week. It was tough.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Well, see, I would love to see some behind-the-scenes photos of that on your Instagram. I'd love to be there with you guys.
Yes. We're going to try to do as much as we can. We have to do it when the actors aren't made up and they're not in their wardrobe or their wigs or whatever. So we have to do it before then. And that's why it's so hard because, you know, who wants to see the actors when they're not made up, you know?
Yeah. <Right. laughs> And then also there's so much, the PR from the Stars Network, they're very strict about what you post. Some things you have to get approved. So we'll do what we can.
Yeah, no, I get that. Well, you could definitely take pictures of products that you're loving and liking.
Yes, we're going to do that. But we're going to do that.
And you could do selfies of each other.
We can do selfies of each other. Yes,
I'm going to do one just for you, Matthias.
And I'm going to tag you. And I'm going to tag you on all of them.
You should. I love when my fans tag me. I have a tweet that goes out every day that says, tweet me your beauty selfie today so I can give you my opinion of how it looks.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I love that.
Great.
Yeah, collaborating is key, for sure.
Yes, let's do it. All right, tomorrow morning, bright and early at 5:30 in the morning when I get there. Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, my gosh. Is it already? And it's already East Coast time for you guys right now, isn't it?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, gross. You need to get some sleep.
Right.
Wow.
So we will chat with you very soon, and we'll get those pictures out there, too.
All right. So why don't you plug your Instagram name so everybody can follow you guys, too?
Well, thank you very much. I think I'll do that. On Instagram, actually, on all of my social medias, just like Matthias for makeup, I am at Denise Tennell. That's two N's and two L's.
And I am Janice Tennell, Janice spelled like Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, last name Tennell, two N's, two L's.
And it's T-U-N-N-E-L-L?
Yes. Correct.
Got it. Okay, just want to make sure. All right, you guys, everybody follow them as well.
All right.
Thanks
you again, Matthias.
Thanks for having me. I so appreciate it. Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you so much. Will I see you guys back in L.A. for the makeup show in March?
It's going to be tough because
we'll still be on this show.
Okay, got it.
So it'll be kind of tough to get there, you know, on that Saturday and have to be back that Sunday, so.
All right. Well, maybe, do you guys like San Francisco? They might do a makeup show in San Francisco in August.
Ooh, I love San Francisco. I would love to do that.
Yay! Yeah, last August they did it for the first time. It was the makeup show pop-up shop thrown by the Powder Group, and it was a huge success. So I hear they're going to do it again this year. So I would love to meet up with you guys in August for the makeup show, pop-up show.
We just might have to plan that.
Yay!
Yep.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I love all my followers and fans. So thank you all for following me, and thank you for listening.
All right.
Yes.
Have a good night.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will chat with you guys next week. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.